Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you. I'm very honored to have in studio two great guitar players, songwriters, and just all about good guys, Ian Matthews and Steve Postel. Steve's been on the show several times, and it's good to have you back. It's always great to have you back. You always bring something pretty additional. All About Guitar. And what am I hearing?
We have a great show for you. I'm very honored.
Is that? We're trying to post and share on Facebook Live, and our. But anyway, Ian Matthews, big influence on my guitar playing. I remember listening to Fairport Convention, which he was a member of, and it did influence, because I even though I probably more known for rock stuff that I've done, folk was a big part of my thing. So anyway he was a part of Fairport Convention, and also another group, one of my favorite versions of Woodstock was by Matthews Southern Comfort. And I want to welcome you to the show. It's really honor to get you.
The volume.
Turn the volume down. Yeah, you can't. It's the iPhone thing.
All the way.
There you go. So anyway, it's really an honor to have you on the show.
I don't know which one it is.
Too many phones here.
That one's down.
No?
Help! Which one is it?
It's yours.
This one? We're ready.
There we go. Okay. But anyway, both Steve and Ian are working together as a duo, and they've been playing. They're playing and touring around. We're going to talk about that collaboration, too. And we're going to get in a little bit about, we have some special treats. We have some new music from Steve that's unreleased that we're going to get a sneak peek. And I pulled some clips from Ian's latest album, The Art of Obscurity. I'm going to flash it up here. I recommend this. I was listening to this the last few days, and it's awesome. Some great songs.
Thank you.
So anyway, welcome to the show, both of you guys. I think before I start asking you questions, let's have you guys play and do a song for us. So let us, which one are you going to do for us?
A song called Is This It? This is a song I wrote for a friend of ours, a great guitar player named Stephen Bruton.
Oh, okay.
Are you a spirit in the sky? or just some dust on a shelf. Can you hear me talking? Or am I talking to myself? When I see you in my dreams, are you really in the room? Or is it just me trying to tell you that you left this world too soon? Is this it? Is this it? Is this it?
On. Great sound. Great sound.
Yay.
Since you just, the sound of these guitars are just blowing me away, let's talk a little bit real quick about that. What are you using? We'll start with Steve, this guitar.
This is an amazing guitar. It's called Rockbridge. It's made out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably seen, Dave Matthews plays these a lot. Jason Mraz has them. I mean, a lot of people they're making them for it. It's just he walked in a club I was playing, this little club, and saw me playing and said, I want to come to your house and show you some guitars. And I didn't have a cedar top parlor size guitar. I told him, I don't really need any guitars. He said, everyone needs guitars. I said, well, I don't have a cedar top, small, you know, they made this, and it's just a really spectacular instrument.
It just sounds amazing.
I did a song called Capital on David Crosby's new record, a beautiful song, a very complicated acoustic guitar part that James Raymond wrote on keyboards. Thanks a lot. we did a blind test. I brought an old Martin, a new Martin, a Guild, and this, and I played the part, and the engineer and David listened in the booth, and James, and this guy won.
So that sounds beautiful. It's a
no
great...
wonder why.
Now, tell us a little bit about this guitar. This is an interesting guitar that you have, Ian.
Yeah, it's a Recording King. And this particular... I have several Recording Kings. I actually endorse the high-end Recording King guitars. Mm-hmm. And this particular one is... It's called an RNJ-17. And mm-hmm. it's part of a series of three that they made. They're no longer in production. They haven't been for 10, 12 years. And it's a 13 fret. And the guitar is based on a Gibson that they used to make back in the 60s, a Ray Whitley custom mm-hmm. signature model. And he wanted 13 frets. He didn't want 12, he didn't want 14, he wanted 13. So Gibson made that guitar, and of course at the time Recording King were made by Gibson too. They were the budget line. Yeah, they Gibson made Recording Kings as their cheap guitars, and they sold them through Sears and Roebuck. And not this particular one. I mean, that's a little further back. But I like these guitars so much that there are three in the line. There's the 16, the 17, the 26, and I now mm-hmm. have them all. I found this one recently on eBay.
Now, let me ask you, back in the day when you were playing with Fairport Convention, and also when you were playing with Matthew Southern Comfort, mm-hmm. the original, mm-hmm. What guitar did you use?
Well, in Fairport, I didn't play guitar.
Really?
No, I was just the singer. They had two guitar players. Richard Thompson played guitar, and Simon Nicol played guitar. Simon was the rhythm guitar player. I was strictly a vocalist until maybe the last 6 months of being in the band, where they gave me a conga and they said, "Play that."
Now, what did you play in Matthew Southern Comfort?
Southern Comfort, I played primarily an Epiphone Texan.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And of course, you know, in those days, amplifying an acoustic guitar was a task in itself. I don't completely remember what it was, but it was probably one of those nasty-sounding under-the-bridge pickups that they used to put
like
in.
Like a D'Armand or something that would clip in there?
No, something that was under the saddle. So it just had that nasty metallic clicking, clipping sound.
What year would that be? Because I don't remember. That's I think he's talking about the Piezo pickup that goes under the bridge.
Southern Comfort, that would have been 1970.
Yeah, that would have been right about the time.
I'm pretty sure that's what I had. And then just a jack in the end. And I didn't really... I appreciated the guitar that I had because I liked the sound of the Texan, and it was the guitar I wanted. I had a blonde one and a sunburst one, mm-hmm. and I've no idea what happened to them. They're gone somewhere, but where?
Wow.
I don't know.
I remember the name of it. I have to go back and look on Google it to see what it looked like.
Texan looked a little bit like the Gibson J45, like the guitar that John Lennon played. Mm. Was that a 45?
Yeah, he used the J45.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was called the...
Actually, it had a different name.
D180E, because it was electric.
I looked it up. Yeah.
Well, this was not electric. Yeah, yeah. It looked like... I think Gibson made an acoustic version of it, too.
Yeah.
Completely acoustic. And the Texan, that particular Epiphone, was based on the J45.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it had the sloped shoulders and everything.
So when did you actually started going with the Recording King? Did you use anything else in the interim?
Yeah, I still do. I have lots of guitars.
Not as many as me, though.
No, absolutely not. No.
You are the Recording King.
I also play an all-mahogany mm-hmm. James Kinsherf OM-size guitar that I've had for... I had three built when I lived in Texas. I lived mm-hmm. in Texas for 10 years. And James Kinsherf is a one-man company. I think he's based in Wimberley now, but at the time he was in Austin. And He made me three. One I sold, and the other two I still have. So they're about 25, 26 years old. So I play those. I don't fly them anymore. I play them when I drive to shows. I also have a couple of Loudons. I have a very nice Loudon 35. I recently had a Wee Loudon made.
Oh, wow.
They're great. They're supposed to be
traveling
guitars.
They're great, yeah, they are beautiful
guitars. But they're just amazing sounding guitars. Have you ever seen one of those, Steve?
Yeah.
It's tiny. It's smaller than a Parlor.
Mm.
But somehow, the way they braced it, the way it's constructed, it just has this big sound to it. It's not most guitars that size, you know, like the little Martin, it just sounds like a small guitar. But the Wee Loudon sounds...
I have an old Washburn that's a Parlor guitar, and that thing's loud.
Yeah.
So it's you'd be amazed. Those little guys can really... That's a small body, but that thing has plenty of volume.
Yeah, well, it's deep, too. That's the thing. It's extra deep. It's a little fatter than a normal acoustic. And I don't know why. You'd have to talk to Recording King about the reasons why. But I endorse the guitars because I like them. I like playing them. I like the sound of them. And I have several. Maybe I have four, five, something like that.
Yeah, no, those are beautiful guitars. I'm going to play a clip from... The Art of Obscurity. And this is one, this is called When I Was a Boy. I know that you're playing, and I think Bradley Kopp is the...
Yeah, I play rhythm guitar.
Okay,
and
but
Bradley
this is really beautiful, what's going on, the interplay between the guitars. And just to give you a little bit of a sample of what they're doing in terms of what the album's about, it's a really beautiful song. I just love this guitar work. So here's When I Was a Boy.
Whistle sings. Never mind the thistle stings. Before the Beatles did their thing, and Skiffle took it on the chin. We were building cars from wood we found, from old pram wheels that don't go round. She's at the old showground, back when I was a boy. We were bouncing marbles down the street. It was chips and cards roll once a week, and Tuppence bought a bag of sweets after rationing was obsolete. We had holes in every pair of socks, Beano through the letterbox, and our front door was never ever locked. Stepping up the race.
Now that's tasty.
Beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, he's a great player. Bro.
Now you're just doing the strumming because there's some other finger picking in there.
I'm the engine room. I'm the drummer.
You're the drummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's just great. Just the tone of his guitar.
Yeah.
I was telling Lori it was hard to do short clips because you can see what's important is to watch how the song evolves, the arrangement evolves, and it's just the way it builds, and then he just does it. And I actually edited another. I took out a verse of the singing where he's actually doing more fills,
and I
went to the lead because the lead is just so cool what he's doing.
Yeah,
the
little
bending and stuff.
I agree.
So,
is that on this album? Current album?
It's on. Yes.
It's it's on here, and it's called When I Was a Boy. It's the second cut.
Yeah.
So
it's an English thing. You know. there are lots of English references in there that.
And since I'm going to go ahead and play before we talk a little more in depth, I want to play another clip, one from Steve's, and this is unreleased thing. And I want to show again. It's a little bit longer clip, but it shows the evolution, what's going on in the arrangements, where things are happening. I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and play Wait Until You Get There, because you do some really cool things. There's strings in this, and it's a really beautiful clip. So let me play that, and then we'll talk a little more about your arranging, the concept behind the songs, and all of that. So this is, let me find it here. It's hard to read. When You Get Here. Okay.
Jaded and opinionated. She sees me as a counterfeit bill, and I revel in her innocence. So I took her to a restaurant, ordered wine and souffle. It didn't matter much about the conversation. I'd said it all before. This day, I said, just wait until you get here, and you'll see what I mean. Just wait until you get here, through these rivers and streams. I wandered into the Howling Wolf Cafe. I saw a kid with a guitar. Everyone was just loving him, so in tune with where they are. So I ate and I drank. I tried to listen to his words, but through the tapping of feet, his youth was all.
Now it's interesting listening to those two clips, and because it's interesting how the songs build. And what I noticed on both of your works is the arranging and the way you use the guitar parts are just really beautiful, how it builds. So what I want to ask first, since we just heard yours is fresh in our minds, is you have real strings in there.
Yep.
Who's playing bass?
Leland Sklar.
That's a great line, that boo-doo-doo-doo comes in there. And then the electric guitar.
So that's an interesting story. So I had cut, so Russ Kunkel, who plays the drums and percussion, he and I produced this. And Maya Bloomfield from Rainy Jane played the cello, and then I had some other strings that I faked on top of them. Anyway, so we had done the, I did the acoustic guitar part actually on this guitar, on the Rockbridge, and then I played an electric part. And I have this band right now, and one of the called Immediate Family, and there's three guitar players. One of them is Danny Korchmar, one of them is Waddy Wachtel. And Waddy and I were doing something else for the band, and he was walking out, and I said, hey, stick around for a minute. And I muted my electric guitar part, which was fine, but someone else, I knew Waddy would bring, aside from that, he's one of the greatest parts player of all time. So I didn't use any of my electric. I never even listened to it again.
So that's Waddy on there.
On the electric, yeah.
What's he using?
Les Paul.
The Les Paul through
My Vibraverb.
Kreiberberg.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's a beautiful sound.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know you're pretty specific in your arrangement, so you I'm sure you just let him go and do his thing.
I usually let people play a couple times through, and then I kind of orchestrate it after the fact.
Oh, okay.
And pick from three different takes and put something together. That's generally how I produce.
Now, I want to talk to Ian about now that song that we had played, the
When I Was a Boy.
When I Was a Boy. How much of that was your input? How much of that did you just let Bradley go nuts? Or
it's the same scenario as Steve, really. Brad and I put down the basic track, first of all. There's hardly anyone else on it. I mean, Bradley also plays bass on it. But we put down two acoustics. He picked and I strummed. So we had that basic track down, and then he put bass on it for a guideline for himself. And then he put his electric on it. And I never tell Bradley what to play, because he knows exactly what to play. He knows the right sound. He's very instinctual about that stuff. He knows the right sounds to make, and he knows the right parts to play, and he knows stylistically how he should accompany various tracks.
It's funny, he always tells me exactly what to play.
Yeah, well, you're not Brad.
Now, do you remember, were you there when Bradley did his parts, or he just did them when he...
No, I was there,
What did he use? Was that a Strat?
He plays a Strat, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
had that real glassy
sound. That's his go-to instrument.
Did he go direct, or...
He goes direct. Yeah.
Because that's a really, really
good... Do you ever go direct, Steve?
Sometimes, but with it, I've got a plug-in, which is pretty amazing that I...
Yeah.
There's certain sounds I do, but...
I think he used a plug-in, too.
Because, yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he kept coming up with different sounds.
They're doing better and better work with that now. So.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the collaboration here. Now, the both of you guys working together, how does that work? Do you come... I mean, yes, I'm sure you're doing some of the songs from each of your albums, so that's kind of clear.
We just met downstairs.
You're just complete strangers. We just put them in here.
Yeah, he ran over my guitar in the garage.
But how much input? Are you looking for a specific thing, or are you pretty open and you kind of feed off of what he's bringing to the table?
It's pretty organic. We have a mutual respect and admiration for each other's work, and we know our limitations. We know what each of us should do, and within that, we just sit down and learn each other's songs and decide where we're going to sing harmony parts. And
if you're telling a musician that you're playing with too many things, it's the wrong person.
Yes, exactly.
There'll be a little suggestion in the bridge. Let's try it to quiet the bridge down. There'd be something like that. But, I work with people with Ian's instincts are the right instinct. They're the instinct. I want what he thinks. That's what makes us, whatever he feels. And occasionally there'll be something, could do this or that. But essentially that's what I want. That's why you like that Leland Sklar line. I didn't tell him to play that.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him to anticipate. I think I just told him, why don't you come in on the second verse, or whatever he came in. Yeah. And then he... So.
Well, I mean, working with people like Danny and Lee, they're just... they just bring magic to the table anyway. But no, what I was saying is, like, for example, with... if you're doing something... Like you said that with this song that we just played, Wait Till You Get There, you pretty much orchestrated after the fact.
No, actually... Well, some of it... I mean, Russ and I wrote the string parts. Like, wrote them out.
Right. But, I mean, in terms of, like, let's say you're doing something that's more elaborate, you might need to, say, play less because they're not hearing all the other stuff you're going to put on it. You know
what
I'm saying?
Did you know before you put the track down that you wanted to have strings on it?
We were doing that. No, after I played the acoustic guitar part. I played the acoustic guitar part, sang it, and then Russ and I got together, and... it was his suggestion.
Okay.
I didn't think... He said, this should have strings. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it works.
It's a great accent, and it's very subtle.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very subtle. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. And when you're doing a session where it's more elaborate, you might want them to play less because they're not hearing all the other stuff. And
you know, I like to there are different ways of approaching it, and I'm a big fan of choosing to work with people that you love their musicality, and I might orchestrate it later. I did one record that's a fantastic record, I think, that Dan Navarro's first solo record. Mm-hmm. And we did a different, we just decided that we would have everybody play from top to bottom. Now, this was a pain in the butt later for us, but so we just, and then we literally orchestrated. So we had a mandolin and a banjo and a guitar, an electric guitar, and a dobro, and a slide, and a violin, and a piano, and an organ, and an accordion. But we wanted all these people just to play. Steely Dan used to do something, play, and then we'll make something out of
it.
It's a very time-consuming way to do it. Mm-hmm. The opposite way is the way we did Danny Korsman's record. We all went over to Jackson's studio, all sat there and played the song, and it was almost done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, you know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because it's an interesting approach on how you do that. In terms of what you did, like for Matthew Southern Comfort to like this album, pretty much the same type of approach.
No, because Southern Comfort's a band, and it's a democratic unit, mm-hmm. so everyone has a say in the way a song sounds. The lead guitar player with Southern Comfort. I'm talking about the new Matthew Southern Comfort, not the old one.
Okay.
Which one do you want me to talk about?
Both.
Okay.
Compare the two. Actually, it'd be interesting to see what the difference.
Well, in the original band in 1970, I did have more of a voice in the way the song sounded. I kind of, I knew basically how. I knew the tempos and I knew the vibe that I wanted in the song. But again, I seem to have, throughout my career, I seem to have surrounded myself with really good, knowledgeable lead guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the case in Southern Comfort, too. I had a lead guitar player called Mark Griffiths. And like Steve, Mark was an arranger, and he later became a fine fretless bass player. He had a big say in the way those tracks sounded. He had great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when I was, for me, recording was just a new thing. I was just getting into seriously recording, and Mark just had an instinct for what was right. I just knew how I wanted the songs to sound. With the new band, again, the lead guitar player is the guy that I lean on. He's also the producer. He has his own studio. And he has a million ideas all the time, and I just let him go with it. Again, I like to dictate the tempo and the key of the song and the vibe that the song puts out. But after that, BJ, we call him, BJ mm-hmm. Bartmans, I just let him go, and I let him play whatever he wants. And at the point where I feel enough is enough, I ask him to stop. Yeah, really, it's that simple. Because he would go on forever. I mean, like Steve, he has a million instruments. And what about this? What about this? What about this?
You know, I had an interesting experience that's really fun with that. Did a session. Kev Mo did a tune in my studio, and he called me from. I guess he lives in Nashville, and he said, "You have guitars, instruments." I said, "Yeah, you don't have to bring anything." So it was a tune he co-wrote with someone, and he'd say, "Do you have a telly?" And I'd bring a telly, and he'd play the part one time. I'd say, "How about a dobro?" I'd bring that. How about it? One time. And at the end, then the parts would fit together beautifully. And he had like six different parts with six different instruments, and it all worked beautifully. And I said, what's the thing with the one? He said, I don't want the choices. I want to play what I hear, and that's it. I don't want to go back in later and have to edit and cut. So, and it was beautiful, and you know, I kind of envy that because I do.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's another way of doing it, too. Yeah.
No, it's interesting. I can see where he's coming from, but I just can't understand. To me, it would be difficult to just play somebody else's instrument.
He just kept grabbing him instruments. He goes, do you have a hollow body?
I have a bunch of guitars, but I mean, I know them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
I think if you're playing a real guitar player's instrument, then it's going to be more or less the way you want it.
Yeah, well, his guitars all play great. I've tried them. They're great.
I rest my case.
Now, let me ask you this. I know that you had mentioned in Fairport Convention you were just the singer, but you were playing guitar back then, right?
I was learning to play guitar back then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, from when you were picking up guitar and being exposed, when you first started guitar, what I want to ask you is now, what has it changed a lot in your playing? I mean, obviously, as you learn more experience, you play better. But I'm saying in terms of style or whatever, what has changed, do you think?
I don't consider myself a guitar player. I consider myself a songwriter who will use the guitar as a tool to write songs. Mm-hmm. And that carries over onto the stage where you accompany yourself. But a guitar player, I play the guitar, but I don't think of myself as a guitar player.
Okay.
I'm very basic with what I do. I'm also very fortunate because I have great time, and when you're working with one other person, having good time is a real plus. Mm-hmm. Having a steady.
Yeah, since you're doing the rhythm.
Yes, exactly.
You're the whole rhythm section.
Yeah, exactly. You're the drummer and you're the guitar player. Yeah.
But you know, I think he's underselling that. There's a style of accompaniment, which I don't hear that much anymore, actually, which, you know, a lot of guitar players sort of strum. But real songwriters who use the guitar, again, as an arrangement instrument. So if you listen to what Ian's playing, there's a rhythm thing happening, but there's melody, internal melody happening, too. And without it, it wouldn't sound nearly as interesting.
Do you have an example? I would like him to play something that would show that.
Oh. Well, you can go. You can do that, or you can go. You know,
there's all these lines in your songs.
And there's also. That's what I tend to do. That's that. If anything is my style, that is my style. Just take it instead of just going from D to G. I'll go.
And that makes it fun to play with because then I can do it too.
Yeah, well, that's not just very simple strumming. There's an art to that.
But it's basic guitar playing, and that's what I mean when I don't consider. I could never, in my wildest dreams, even play rhythm guitar the way Steve does. Yeah. I have a certain way of playing. I think it's born through laziness, really. I've never aspired
to accommodate yourself.
I've never aspired to be a guitar player.
To be honest with you, it's very similar to. The type of the function of it is similar to jazz band guitar. One of the things I notice in some of the songs is you choke the guitar, so you
chunk. Quite a lot, actually.
And the thing with jazz band, it's subtle. You can hear it. I mean, I'm listening in headphones. I can pick it up, but you notice it when it's not there.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the. You know, from the 20s and 30s, that was the way guitar functioned. The archtop was basically a percussive instrument.
Exactly.
You were the drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
But just play a little bit of that type of that rhythm where you mute, because it's really a. Because he does, it just keeps that time.
There's that percussive feel to it again, too.
Right, but it's there. Kind of a, it has, it's a percussive instrument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I want to get two more songs in, so I'll let you guys do something right now together.
Okay.
And since now you have the GNL out.
Mm-hmm. Should we do like a radio? You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and do that.
It's a song from the new Matthews Southern Comfort album.
Oh, okay.
It's the title song. The album came out this year, and yeah. One, two, three, four. Man, I nearly fell down laughing when they said she's like a saint, 'cause she's a rock and roll survivor with all her cliches and her pain. Yeah, she's a righteous holy roller with her sweetness and her light. All she ever wants to do is whet your appetite until you can't do wrong for doing right. I know you tried your best to change her, but she's having none of that. She's a constant distraction. Oh, you think she almost measured up to all you had in mind. She's got you hook, line, and sinker. She's got you almost, but not quite, until you can't do wrong for doing right. Try to run, but she won't let go. She leads you on like a gigolo. She fills you up until you overflow, and then she turns you down like a radio. Reputation like a fence around her heart. Says she's waiting for the perfect day when she'll play the perfect part. I do think you almost measured up to all she has in mind. She's got you hook, line, and sinker. She's got you almost, but not quite, until you can't do wrong for doing right. All right. On the light, she's a permanent distraction, an emotional oversight. Yes, she's Joan of Arc and Guinevere, all twisted into one. Ah, she's too good to be true, my friend. She just keeps you hanging on until you can't do right for doing. Try to run, but she won't let go. She leads you on like a gigolo. She fills you up until you overflow, and then she turns you down like a radio.
got your hook, line, and sinker. She just turns you down. She turns you down like a radio. Man, I nearly fell down laughing.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We're almost out of time, and I want to do one more song. But first, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, this album is out, The Art of Obscurity. This is Ian Matthews' solo album. And then what's the name of the Matthews Southern Comfort is Like a Radio.
Like a Radio.
Like
yeah.
a Radio. And
yeah.
they're out now, and you can get them anywhere. I'm going to nudge Steve to find out when his new album's going to come out.
And what's it called?
It's called Walking Through These Blues. And, well, it's coming out in three different places at three different times. So
get your pencils out.
Yeah.
On Birdstone Records, it's coming out in Europe. They're based in Germany, and that's going to be in late February. And on a and it's coming out in Asia on another label in May. And the North American coming out here whenever we decide it should come out here. But I'm finished with it, just in the last stages of mixing. Then we'll master. And
do you think the North American will be after those other releases?
It's not necessarily, but okay. You know, it depends on. You know, I've got people working with me. It could be maybe or before. I don't know.
But okay. We get the benefit of all the live previews because.
Yes. Well, you know. No. I mean, when it does come out,
we have a gig in here, so
we definitely have to have you back on to talk about the whole album and stuff in scope. I mean, we didn't get to play a lot of the clips because we're out of time. But there's some really interesting stuff that you're doing on there, guitar-wise and otherwise, song-wise. But now, also, too, where are you guys going to be playing?
Saturday, where are we? Upland.
So they did a Northern California portion of the tour. Now they're back in L.A., and they've done a few shows here, and finishing off with Grand Oak Live, which is a house concert in Upland. You can find that on the Facebook page.
And then Sunday we're
Bogies.
Playing Bogies, and that's with me and myself. We have Alfonso Johnson, who's going to play upright bass, which is really wonderful, and Fritz Lewak from Jackson Browne's band, going to play percussion. Peter Adams, one of my co-producer on my records, going to play keyboards. And Tariq Akoni, one of the incredible guitar player you've had
yes.
on.
Yes,
amazing.
He's going to play
yeah.
guitar as well. And my sister's going to sing, and Dan Navarro's going to sing. It's going to be a really nice night. That's Sunday at Bogies.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sit there and shake.
Well, you guys get to do
no,
a
you
set
just need to go.
Yeah.
of your thing, right?
Yeah.
You're going to do a set of your thing, and
yeah.
then you're going to do a band set?
We're going to do just
yeah.
both of our, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a duo thing, and yeah, and then Steve will
oh,
take it home.
Both be original things.
Right.
Yeah.
So tickets for that are on Eventbrite. Or you can just go to bogies-bar.com and find it on the calendar and then click the Eventbrite to get seats.
We're also on Friday night, we're going to be playing in Cedar City, Utah.
And George, I think, is watching the FaceTime. So.
Okay. We're going to be playing at a room called Off the Cuff.
Oh, very cool.
In Cedar City, Utah. Yeah.
Thank you, George. Loosely.
Yeah.
And I want to do two shout-outs. One to my friends at Simple Way, who are the vocal mic that I'm using on Ian is their Simple Way mic.
Simple Way.
And
sounds good.
Yeah.
Also, Gary Rodenko at the Bass Exchange Amp Shop, who let me borrow that. And also to Ron Marino and David McLaren over at G&L.
They've been incredibly great to myself and Danny Korchmar in our band.
This is a new one that I've seen. I've seen the other one, and I'm in love with this guitar. This is a great,
beautiful one.
I think they call it a Blues Boy, I think.
Yeah, it just says ASAT Classic.
Right, but then they have nicknames.
This is a very cool, this is a beautiful guitar.
And,
it sounds
and,
great.
And do you make acoustics, Ron?
They're working on it. No,
okay.
I don't.
Steve,
they
did you want to mention anything else about the immediate family?
It's a great, fun new project. It's myself and Wadi Hochtel, Danny Korchmar, Lee Sklar, and Russ Kunkel. And
you're playing in New York, right?
We're playing.
Oh yeah, the Iridium.
Three shows at the Iridium. We're playing in.
When's that?
That's November 26th through 28th. We're playing November 24th though. We're in Laguna, at Mozambique, and we're making a new record as well, and a live record from the Japan tour. We're starting to mix that now.
Oh, very, very, very cool.
Busy boy.
Oh, yeah. That just
this
means
an incredible
we're
project.
Have to, yeah, there's
incredible.
Just, they got to come back. Yeah. All that.
Well, I hope to get Leland on the show. It'll be
yes.
fun.
Well, thank you so much, and you have to come back.
I'd love to.
There's much more. Again, I always, it sounds like a cliche, but we just scratched the surface. You can see how fast it goes.
Yeah. Well, let's play a little of Ian's number one song that was number one in London.
Okay.
How many years ago?
How many years ago? My God.
How many decades ago?
1970. So.
1970.
You do the math. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it never gets old.
Everybody, thank you. Lori, of course, thank you for putting this together. And thank you so much, Doug, for helping me set up the microphones.
You're welcome.
He's off camera. But anyway, everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week. I leave you with Woodstock.
Upon a child of God, he was walking down the road. When I asked him, "Where you going?" this he told me. He said, "I'm going down to Yasgur's farm. Think I'll join some rock and roll band. Gonna camp out on the land. Try to set my soul free, 'cause we are stardust, we are golden, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, back to the garden." Can I walk beside you? I just came here to lose the smog. Now I feel just like a cog in something turning. Well, maybe it's the time of year, but maybe it's the time of man. And I don't know who I am. Life's for learning, and we are stardust, we are golden, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, back to the garden. Shotgun in the sky. They were turning into butterflies above our nation. We are stardust. We are golden, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. We are stardust. Got to get ourselves back to the garden. Back to the garden. Got to get back home.